Today is the first Sunday after Christmas, and our scripture readings this morning are from Isaiah chapter 61, beginning at verse 10, into Isaiah 62, verse 3. Psalm 111, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, and the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 40. Today's message is titled, God and Sinners Reconciled. From the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, beginning at verse 10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness. And all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Here ends the reading from the prophet Isaiah. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord! I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright. And in the assembly, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Here ends the psalm. From Paul's letter to the Galatian church, chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Here ends the reading from Galatians, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of, in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Here ends the reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. Prayer of Martin Luther in our prayer this past year. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. From the early moments of being parents, Joseph and Mary fulfilled the ritual worship life expectations set forth by the law of the Lord, the commands of the Lord given to Moses on the mountain many generations earlier. Leviticus chapter 12 sets forth the commands of the Lord. The Apostle Paul held this observation of the law as his first credential, as he bragged about it. As his first credential, yeah, he bragged about it. It's written in Philippians chapter 3. If anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He marked that covenant of circumcision as the beginning point to say who he was. I mean, the importance of obeying the Lord's command. Paul writes that he could boast about this. But then he went on to say, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God, and it is by faith. Leviticus 12 has the purification after childbirth. And we find Mary and Joseph following this. They're obeying it, what the Lord has set forth. And it indicates the kind of home Jesus would grow up in. A home where obeying the Lord's commands is normal life for them. And I would say, and I would suspect, this aspect was a reason, one of many, we don't know them all, one of many, that Mary was highly favored by the Lord God, along with Joseph, being chosen to be the ones raising the living God, beginning as a newborn boy. A home filled with observing the things the Lord God had set forth. Remember, Jesus was Jewish and lived in a home of Jewishness, growing up according to the laws of Moses. As Jesus was receiving the sign of the covenant in his flesh, his name was spoken to be Jesus. Just as the angel commanded the name to be Jesus. It's a transliteration of the Hebrew Yeshua, Yehoshua. Yeshua, and it's Yehoshua too. And this transliteration, it means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. His name means God is salvation. The Lord is salvation. Now remember Zechariah. He did not believe the angel saying that he and Elizabeth would have a child and to give the child the name John. As a result, Zechariah would not be able to speak until the time would come to pass in the true and proper time. That's what the angel said. You can't speak until the time comes to pass. The angel Gabriel said this. Zechariah could not speak until that moment of the baby boy receiving the sign of the covenant in his flesh and the name being given. It's written in Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 59. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no. Ooh, that's very unusual for the woman to speak up and say no at the circumcision of the naming of a child, of a boy. No, he is to be called John. They said to her, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father. Remember, he hasn't been speaking for over 9 months. Signed to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed and he began to speak, praising God. Notice the importance of the timing of this. It was at the circumcision, the sign of the covenant and the giving of the name that the angel said to give to this boy, call him John. After the period of purification, and for the birth of a boy, the period of purification is a little over a month long. After this period, waiting for purification, Joseph and Mary travel the 5 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to go to the temple. It is very hard to describe what being at the temple at that time would feel like and look, what it actually was like. With the money changers and the sellers in the temple court, so that the temple-approved animal, the temple-approved coin, would be obtainable for all these travelers coming to worship, to fulfill the commands of the Lord. The great numbers of pilgrims approaching the priests with their offerings, according to the need of the individual person. The seriousness of the worship of the Lord, the piety being expressed there. It's real. Their actions, their attitudes, their reverence of the Lord, their awe before the Lord with their grain or their animal or the whatever sacrifice they came there that day was required to be done as they gave it over to the priest. Anna, we'll meet her in a little bit again. She was out in the court where the women are. She's been there over 60 years. worshiping, fasting, praying, known as a prophetess in the temple. Again, more on her in a little bit. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8. If she, that is the mother, cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for her and she will be clean. The sacrifice of a pair of doves or pigeons, it gives us a clue as that Joseph and Mary were of average means. They were be an ordinary household, if you want to say it this way, of the common people in the place Jesus would eventually grow up. In that bustling crowd, trying to walk carefully with a newborn. Have you tried to walk carefully through a very crowded place? I mean, avoiding bumping into people, trying to navigate, negotiate your way through the temple area. Sacrifice is coming, sacrifice is going. You're heading to the sacrifice. I mean, and as you're heading to the sacrifice, a man comes rushing towards you with great determination. He's nudging people out of the way, pushing people out of the way. Now, this is from my imagination. And it's not scriptural, but it's from my imagination. If I was directing a movie of this scene, from my imagination, we'd see the earnestness, the eagerness of the man. He had single focus. He was determined. He had purpose. It would easily be seen in his manner and the fortitude on his face, and especially that fix of his eyes, laser-like gaze on his target. That newborn child. In that woman's arms amongst the crowd, that child, he must reach that child. He must hold that child. The Holy Spirit told him to do so. Luke 2, verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went in the temple court when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. The encounter of this moment shows with definitive proof God can and does orchestrate events of human history. This is the day. This is the hour. This is the moment. The newborn child will be in the temple. This is the day. This is the hour. This is the moment. The Lord sent Simeon to be in the temple to greet this newborn baby boy. Have you ever tried to find a person in a great crowd? We don't quite understand the immense spaciousness of the Temple Mount. The western wall of the Temple Mount, it is 4.5 football fields long. And then standing in that middle of the temple area is the temple itself, rising 10 to 16 stories high. Try to find a person there on the Temple Mount in that day, filled with thousands upon thousands, potentially 100,000 people. Try to find the person. We use cell phones to meet up in crowds now. Then the Holy Spirit was moving Simeon. Though the hundreds of thousands of people were there, he was moving Simeon. Now in the temple court, with the child in his arms, Simeon begins what we know as the Nunc Dimittis. It's Latin for "lettest thou depart." The Greek is Nunopolis. The Latin is Luke Dimittis. From the NASB 95 translation, it's closer to the Greek word order. Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 29. Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. In the temple, in that place, with all that noise, all that commotion, and the aroma of the burnt offerings and of the burnt sacrifices before the Lord, all of that going on before the Lord, Simeon is praising God for seeing with his own eyes, seeing the Lord's salvation. Jesus. Over yonder, over there is a priest having a man place his hands on a male goat without defect for a sin offering. A few people down, a woman standing with two doves for a burnt offering and a sin offering. Over there is a young man standing, waiting for the moment to give his grain offering. Are you starting to get the picture of being in the Temple Mount, this courtyard filled with worshipers praying? And over in Solomon's colonnade, the rabbis are teaching. In the midst of all of this, Simeon holds a child, lifts the child and holds him in his arm and says, "Now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people, light for the Gentiles, glory for Israel." This is happening in the temple area. Or just over yonder is the temple itself. And in the temple, beyond that great curtain, is the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat, the atonement cover of the Ark. The place where on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter with the blood to place on the mercy seat, to sprinkle on that atonement cover. Remember, the cover of the Ark of the Covenant is called the mercy seat, and it's also called the atonement cover. Leviticus 16 has the instructions to be followed to make the atonement cover and to do the atonement. Leviticus 16 has the instructions to be followed on the atonement. And the atonement is done every year, once a year, every year, and it's known as Yom Kippur. So all of that's there in that area. And Simeon is declaring his eyes has seen the salvation of the Lord. The Lord has fulfilled his promise to Simeon, and Mary and Joseph have a confirmation. Jesus will save. A little bit later, Anna will come. Luke 2, verse 36. There is also prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years, and after marriage, then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon said salvation. We have Anna saying redemption. Redemption properly means the payment in full of the ransom price to free a slave. Are you getting the picture I'm drawing here this morning? In the midst of thousands of people at the temple courtyard, where tables are exchanging what they brought for the temple to have approved, temple-approved animals, temple-approved coins for their sin offerings and all those other things of that worship life for the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, Anna and Simeon are speaking of a child, a baby boy as salvation and redemption. In that place where sacrifices have been made for sin for nearly 1,000 years, since the first temple was dedicated by Solomon, and then there's an interruption with the Babylonian captivity. But shortly after that Babylonian captivity, the second temple was built. And since the second temple was built, worship, these sacrifices for sin have been going on for 500 years. Except that little interruption when Antiochus desecrated the temple and the Maccabees cleared it out. And that's where Hanukkah comes from. This 8 days of oil from only 1 day worth. I mean, the candles, lamps burned for 8 days. And there's only 1 day's worth of oil. And so that's that. So here, for we're talking years upon years upon years, and don't forget about all those years of sacrificing in the tabernacle, that tent traveling around, and we have these two saying, this baby boy is salvation and is redemption. In that place, Simeon says, my eyes have seen your salvation. Anna adds redemption. Redemption of Israel when speaking of Jesus. Something very profound is happening. And you and I know from the sacred scriptures that profound happening is the incarnation of the Son of God, the begotten Son of God, when the Creator entered into creation, conceived, and now is born of a virgin. That baby is very God, a very God, and fully human. Given the name Jesus, just as the angel had told Mary and also had told Joseph, give the name Jesus. Remember, Mary was with child before their wedding day, so Joseph was going to quietly divorce her from betrothal for... He was good. And he was a righteous man. He didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. And oftentimes that meant stoning. The Apostle Matthew, we read Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 20. But after he, that's Joseph, but after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. God with us to save us. Indeed, as Psalm 111 says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate in providing redemption for his people. As the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 61, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation and robed me in a robe of righteousness and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. And as Paul writes in Galatians 4, at the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman, under the law to redeem those under the law. Indeed, God and sinners reconciled. This is God's doing. It is God's compassion and grace being freely offered to you in the Son of God, who is Jesus, the Christ. For at the right time, Jesus will be betrayed, will be crucified and die, shedding his blood as that perfect Lamb of God, paying the redeeming price in full, bringing about the atonement of sins, the finished work on the cross. Christ will do this just outside the walls of Jerusalem, not far from the temple. May you be as Anna and Simeon. May you this day and for the rest of your life recognize your Redeemer and the Lord's salvation, and be blessed with the forgiveness of sins and life evermore. Amen and amen.